Today's scripture comes from Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 to 20. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age."
So last Sunday, I had a brief moment of panic. It was during March last Sunday with us, during the Zoom service, and it was when the scripture was read. 3 weeks prior to that, I had decided as I was looking ahead to this Sunday that I was going to preach from Matthew 28, 16 to 20. And that was the scripture that popped up for Mark's last service. And so immediately I began thinking, like Mark's going to preach, and he's going to make all the points that God laid in my heart, and I'll have nothing to say next week. Then I thought, well, what if Mark got it wrong, and it would appear next week that I was like I was correcting him? Or what if my thoughts were wrong, and as I listened to him, I'd realize that what I was planning on saying was really stupid? Well, thankfully, there's a fourth possibility. The scripture is big enough for two messages that are true to the text. Mark focused on a part. He focused on the transition that the disciples were going through as Jesus had died and was about to leave. And his words to them in dealing with that transition, most specifically, "Lo, I am with you." A powerful message. And Mark led us in the sense of we're in transition. He's in transition. He's left. He's going to a new church. He's preaching for the first time in a new church this week. We're experiencing new things here, and there's COVID, and in times of transition, "Lo, I am with you." So my focus, I gave my life to Jesus when I was 15 years old. It was a major change for me. I was totally changed that night when I gave my life to Jesus and the Spirit of God was placed in my heart. And I wanted to know more, and I became very, very much a seeker of the truth of God. I'd heard very quickly about a thing called the Great Commission and found that it was from Matthew 28:19. "Therefore, go, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I have commanded you." The Great Commission, just a normal word, everyday word, but a word that means command given to a person or a group. A command given to a person or group. Now, what was it about this command that makes it the great commission, the great one? Well, part of it is the context. Jesus has been crucified. He was raised from the dead. He started appearing to his disciples. That kind of sounds like how Paul said the gospel, the good news, the things that happened. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. He was raised from the dead, and he appeared to the 12. And here he is in the midst of those appearings, and he told them to go to the mountain, and while they were at the mountain, he appeared to them, and he said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." All authority on heaven and earth. Now, I don't know exactly what the sum total of that, but that's a lot of authority. Jesus has a lot of authority. And he says, it's out of that authority that I'm telling you, therefore, I have this command for you. Now, in the English and in the Czech, it appears from the text that there's two commandments. In the original language of the New Testament, there's but one commandment. In English, we have go, command number one, make disciples number two, the second one. And that's very similar to how it's structured in at least the version I read within the Czech Bible. Now, in the Greek, it's different. The first word that we translate go is a participle, which means going, it's not a command, going, make disciples. And in the Greek, that make disciples is just one word. Going, do this one thing, make disciples. It's an imperative. It's in the imperative form in the Greek. It's in the imperative form in the English. It's in the imperative form or the vocative form in the Czech. Make disciples. What does it mean to make a disciple? Well, he goes on, he says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Spirit. Baptize. Outward visible sign of an inward spiritual grace. That something has happened on the inside. You're baptized because of this new presence of God. When we receive Jesus, the Spirit is given to dwell within us. And we submit ourselves to the actual physical sense of being baptized by water, where we represent death and resurrection, an old way of living, a new way of living. But it's signifying the fact that something has happened on the inside of a person. That's what I experienced that night when I was 15 years old. Something happened. I was baptized. The Holy Spirit became present in my life. So baptize them, bring them into this living relationship with God through Jesus Christ, and teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. Teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. In my early 20s, or in my mid-20s as a young pastor, I heard these words and I read through the Greek, through the New Testament, and looked at every imperative word that Jesus spoke. What are the things that Jesus commanded? Things like, love your enemies. That's a command. Pray for those who persecute you. That's a command. Make disciples. That's a command. And here it says, teaching them to obey everything. And here Jesus is setting up. He's saying to the 11, he called the leaders, the ones who had been with him, there on the mountain, and he gave them this command out of all of his authority. And he said, you go do that, and you teach everyone who comes after me to do the same thing. This isn't just for you guys. This is for everyone, this command, that you make disciples. Now, for me, this is where it's a little bit, why I was a little bit technical about that go versus going, because sometimes we get on our head too much that we kind of get stuck and say going, or the go is the command. And we have this picture of missionaries and people going far away places, and that you have this intention to you figure out your mission field, and it's at that place that you're sent. You hear the command and you go. But I want you to perhaps think about it a different way than you have. So I might ask you tomorrow, where are you going? And you might say, I'm going to work. And I'll say to you, going, make disciples of Jesus Christ. Or you might say, well, I'm going to the store. And I'll say, going, make disciples of Jesus Christ. Or I'm going to school. Going, make disciples of Jesus Christ. Or you might say, I'm going home. And I'll say, going, make disciples. And in my case, I walk up 7 flights of stairs and I sometimes bump into someone or I pray for people on the way. Going, make disciples of Jesus Christ. See, this going is more about the fact that's a natural part of life. We move around, and wherever we move into, the command is at that time and at that place, we make disciples. This whole thing has been challenged by COVID. Because we're told for a long time to stay at home. No more going. We were told to be isolated, to have quarantine. We were told then to, well, you know, maybe there's a couple people who are your friends, and you might be a part of a relationship with a few, but, you know, that shouldn't be like over 8. And then we moved into a season of social distancing and masks, and in some levels, that's where we're still at. But I noticed for me that I felt like that had a tremendous effect on me to kind of not only just to protect, but it kind of started to isolate me. And I felt and I saw fear, and I saw people kind of moving out of their way, and I saw people unsure about talking to someone they didn't know. And there's reasons for that. You don't know. And so the question is that I've been wrestling with through this time is how do you do that? How are we to go in the midst of these things that we do with COVID? It seems impossible. But you see, the Great Commission is at the core of the heart of Jesus. That was the thing that Matthew recorded as the last thing that Jesus said to his disciples. It's at the core of Jesus' heart because God, Jesus wants people to know him. Jesus wants people to know his presence. Jesus wants people to be filled with the Spirit of God. He wants people to have life. That's the will of God. And where God has a will, God is big enough. He has all authority in heaven and earth. He's big enough to make a way. So I know many people thought, well, I have to stay home, but I'm going to go through the internet. My wife did that really, really well. And if you want to hear some of her stories from that time, she'd be willing to share those with you. I didn't do that quite so well. In fact, I felt like an old man on the internet. And Jenny said I didn't act like it any more than usual. But, you know, it was hard for me. And it's still hard for me. Although there are certain people I'm meeting with on the internet that I have opened up to. But I tried that. But God is not bound. And that's what I learned last Saturday. And I want to tell you two stories from not yesterday, but a week ago. It's my day off. It's our day off on Saturday. We take a day. And as an introvert, I try not to have too much people contact. And I try not to have things that are on my list that have to get done. Those are the two things that make it a Sabbath for me. In the morning, I went on a walk, and I walked up to Parakarshka. I finally learned that, so I had to the name of that. I mean, I didn't say it quite right. We always call it Bunker Hill at our house. And I since learned that a Parakarshka is a female wig maker. And if any of you who are Czech know why that hill, that park is called that, I have been very curious all week. But time to move on. As I was walking through the park, I went past the bench on which two men were sitting. And as I had just gotten past them, I thought, is that guy talking to me? And I almost just kept walking because I didn't understand. It was Czech. I didn't understand what he was saying anyway. But then I decided, I turned and I said to him, Mluvím česky jenom trochu. I speak Czech very little. And he looked at me, he said, English? And I said, I know, English. And we started talking and talked for about 20 minutes there. found out he was 55 years old. And it must have been somewhat shortly after the revolution, he headed to the West. 13 of those years he spent in America before returning home somewhere, he said, probably around 6 years ago. And here he was sitting in the park asking questions like, what is the meaning of life? Why are we here? It just seems like there's no meaning to this. That was the issue that confronted me when I was 15 years old. I saw my friends who were doing bad things and they seemed to be more popular, and I was asking the question, well, why be good? And that made a really bigger meaning. What's the meaning of life? And I saw several of my friends who seemed to have joy and meaning, and I said, well, what is it that you have? And they said, we receive Jesus. And I received Jesus, and my life was changed. And since then, there's been meaning and purpose galore throughout the rest of my time. And so I shared that with the gentleman. And he shared that, he kind of thought there might be a God because he sees everything that's created and thinks there must be something, but it just was very, very far away. And we had a good talk, and we left quite friendly, and I pray that a seed was planted. Later that day, Jenny and I went to the recital of Annetta. Annetta is our landlord's daughter. Their family has taken us in as a part of their family. Jenny has taught Annetta most weeks, with her English, and they are very close. So we went to her recital. There was three musicians, about 80 people who were listening, two 14-year-old pianists and a 21-year-old violinist, and they were very, very good, and it was a very big occasion. It's kind of like their graduation from a certain teacher, and the parents threw this big dinner afterwards out on the patio, and the food was great, and it was all set up and decorated, and we ended up at a table with Annetta's one set of grandparents and her grandma's friend. And so we're standing at these tables where you could be socially distanced, and we're talking, the five of us and the two, and we're trying to piece together, because her grandparents, just very minimal English. So we're trying to speak Czech, and we've been with them before, and they're very kind, and we've gotten along well with them. But there's all this kind of just very, very basic conversation going on. And in the midst of that, the two grandparents, I don't know if they wanted to get more food or they saw someone else they knew, and left us with the friend, who began to speak pretty good English to us, as many Czechs can do. And we were talking, and about that time, Jenny ran out of her food and she went to the dessert line, and I was there alone with this person. And she started telling me about how, as we were talking, it kind of fit in, about how her grandpa was in World War II and her family had been Roman Catholic before that. And it has happened to many people when Catholicism was forced before that time and they had freedom. He came back and he said, I'm an atheist, and their family has been atheist. His descendants have been atheist ever since. And God gave me the opportunity to share about culture in America and how, just like everyone's atheist here, everyone is Christian, at least when I was growing up in the U.S. And that's more of a cultural thing. And for me, I was the first one in my family to have this living relationship with God that went beyond the cultural aspect of Christianity into a real thing that was with the Spirit of God dwelling within me. And so another chance to share, and another, hopefully, a seed planted. But my point is, this Great Commission is Jesus' idea, because he wants people to know him and to have life. Jesus said, I came that you might have life and have it abundantly. And this God, this Jesus who's given all authority in heaven and in earth, is not bound by anything. He's not even bound by lockdowns, because we can still obey the lockdown and go online. He's not bound by COVID. He's not bound by language. And probably most important of all, he's not bound by our shyness, which is probably my greatest excuse. But he sent us in all of that authority. But not only that, as he says, I send you and you do these things, what does he say? He says, I will be with you. Now, Mark clearly said that's a great comfort and should produce great joy in our lives, the experience of him being with us. But it's also him being with us because this is his goal, and he is with us to give us opportunity and to share and to bring light into places and to testify of the goodness of our God and of the love and difference that Jesus makes in our lives. But spend some time in prayer as we think about going and making disciples of all the nations. Shall we pray? So, Father, first I thank you that you clearly in those last moments revealed your desire and the thing that somehow the church grabbed a hold of and said, it's making disciples. That's what this is about. It's about sharing Jesus. It's about teaching people to live like Jesus, to become like Jesus. And so we thank you for that. And Father, here we are, and we're amidst of COVID and still social distancing and masks. And Father, I just want to offer myself afresh today to be a part of your desire, your heart, that people know you. And so I offer myself, and I thank you for the reminders this week that you're not bound. You're not bound by lockdowns. You're not bound by the rules, but you make ways for us and open hearts in conversations. And Father, I want to be a part of that. I want each one here to experience the joy of being a part of what's on your heart, to have people know the grace of God that is through our Lord Jesus Christ.